This evening's class is on the Oracle of the Heart. And the heart is the middle center. And it's got two aspects. The one we're going to deal with this evening is more the human aspect, and the other one is where the top center comes down and merges with that heart in a spiritual center. The color is green, and we're going to need a candle. You got all the colors there.
I think there's a green candle in the bathroom.
We're getting a green candle here. You know, this is very professional. Here comes the green candle. It really, we can easily say that it is the most important center. And we say that it's not just the human heart that we're talking about, it's the combination of the two. But the color we're dealing with here is green. And we can see the importance of that center and that color by the prevalence of green on Earth. It is, I believe it's the most prevalent color on Earth. And what we're all dealing with here is issues of the heart. With Oracle of the Heart, what you're dealing with is unveiling the heart. And green is the color of healing. Healing comes through the heart, and it comes through really the upper part of the emotional body. The bottom two centers deal mostly with the physical body, and these two deal mostly with the emotional body, the solar plexus that we did last week, and the heart. The baser aspect of the emotional center is in the solar plexus, and then this would be the that would be like the body, and this would be like the head or the guiding aspect of that. So the central part of the solar plexus aspect of the emotional is response. Then we can see how our emotions are response. That aspect of this center is caring. And so our response wants to be guided by our caring. You turn that off for a second? The aspect of the prayer that we're dealing with here is the most complex aspect. It's the longest. It's Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so also in earth. And that creates a six-pointed star. And it defines what really is the activity of the heart. In the spiritual sense, which is the expression of love out into the world. That gets confused by the instincts and the emotional aspect of the human heart. And those aspects, the polarities of of the heart are really sort of central in the way they define our energetic experience here. The negative aspect is repelling, and the positive aspect is attracting. Okay. Now, how that works is the repelling aspect is the part that pulls us in. Pulls our energy in. And the attracting part is the part that brings our energy out. It's easier to see if you say repelled and attracted, but it's really the same thing. When we look at anything in life that is hurt or pulling its energy in, we instinctually pull our energy in. If you see somebody who's hurt, okay, when you get hurt, your energy pulls in. If you see somebody that is hurt, instinctively, your energy pulls in. If you see somebody who's having a problem, their energy's pulled in. You see that? Your energy pulls in. Okay? The attraction is just the opposite. It's where that life is just coming forth, bubbling forth, and that's what attracts us. And lots of times we'll call that beauty. But what it really is not a form or a style or a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's an energy thing, a life thing. When we see something that's really alive, it's like the puppy, you know. You see that energy and you just go, wow, look at that, right? It's something very attractive about that. The place where we get into a problem with this is in the place where we don't allow ourselves to trust it. We don't allow ourselves to when you feel your energy pulling in, something usually says, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be out. Place, good example, in my life, one of the places where I experienced this is in my 20s and early 30s, I was really motivated in a business sense to make a lot of money. And it's about a 5 or 6 year period there. And that thing always, just as I was reaching for it, it would pull away. And I got to where I could actually feel that I myself was somehow repelling it. We all have this natural ability to repel what's not for our highest good. But usually we've decided, because of something we've been taught, some other criteria other than our spiritual heart, well, I should do this, or I should have that, or I should become this. And then when that doesn't work for us, when we feel ourselves repelling it, then we move into judgment about that. But it's the repelling aspect is really a beautiful thing. And when we're working with this in meditation, the way that you want to work with this is repelling is on the in-breath. And I like to visualize breathing in, affirming I'm repelling, and just seeing this beautiful crystalline bubble holding absolutely everything away from me that's not for my highest good. Right? And that actually is happening all the time. But when we meet a person, let's say, and we don't hit it off with that person, lots of times in the ego and the emotions we think, gosh, you know, that wasn't satisfactory. I wanted to get to know that person. I feel like I should have been nicer to that person. You ever meet somebody and just something just jumps out of your mouth that's real obnoxious? Yeah. Yeah. You're in denial, Barb. We all do that. And that sometimes it's a more conscious thing than other times, but it's the one that we do unconsciously, and there's a purpose for that. And as we can learn to trust that purpose, our life becomes a lot smoother. And we don't judge those events where everything doesn't turn out, you know, where everybody doesn't fall in love and go home together. You know, it's not always supposed to be that way. There's things going on that we can't see. We're in a real, kind of in a limited perspective down here. So that one of the benefits of this particular meditation and this working with this level that I appreciate is the ability to move into a harmonious relationship with that aspect within me that repels. And to cooperate with it. You don't have to put a lot of energy behind it. It happens naturally. But it's a natural part. How do we see that? The candle repels the darkness. The light repels the darkness. And that's not to say that everything we repel is bad, but in a world where one person's medicine is another person's poison, it's to say it's not right for us right now. So it gives us permission to trust that when we put our energy out there and everybody walks away, that's appropriate. Instead of taking it personally and thinking, oh, they don't like me, or I must have done something wrong, or all those things that we do when those kinds of things happen. Or they're not a good person anyway, we, you know, judge them, make it their fault. But just trust that. It's like, well, I guess that was not supposed to be that way. And let's look at what is here. In my experience with this work, I mean, there's been times when, with no effort at all, I've talked to with 100 people. Just drew 100 people. 1 year I spent money, I drove all the way to Atlanta on my birthday because I really decided that it was time to get out there and start working again. Not one person. Right. And well, yes, I did. And also in doing that, I got permission to honor what was actually happening, was that Spirit was giving me the space to move to a new level, right? Which I didn't want. In my ego, I didn't want that. I wanted to be busy working. I did not want to be left in that void to wait to receive the next piece. So much for what we want. But it's very important that we learn to trust that. I'm going to clip that off for a second. Welcome. The polarity to repelling is attracting. And again, we see that in the flame. The flame attracts. The flame repels the darkness, which can be understood as the void or lack of consciousness, and attracts consciousness. And in our particular situation, we attract consciousness perfectly according to what we need. And oftentimes what we attract, we don't like. Just like what we repel. We want control. The ego's devoted to control. And here's this natural, energetic, repelling process that's taking place, and attracting process that is completely out of our control. We can work with it, we can manipulate it, but there's a natural thing that takes place that is so beautiful, so perfect, that you wouldn't really want to control it once you understood it. I mean, it's perfect. The part those are the two parallel aspects of the cross. The part of the cross that goes down into the ground, that grounds us here, is caring. So you've got repelling, attracting, caring. And again, you can feel how that word, just caring, how your caring really brings you into this life. And a lot of times, that the way caring does that makes us want not to care, because it seems to confine us. And according to my caring, I can only do, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I need to do that, and I want to do that, but my ego's saying, you know, no, let's go do this. It creates a lot of conflict until we learn to trust and cooperate with it. And the caring is the key to the repelling and the attracting. According to the quality of our caring, we repel and attract. Can you feel how that works? But then there's the caring of the ego, and there's the caring of the spirit. For example, the spirit cares about that which is loving and that which is for the highest good. The ego cares about things which reflect control. Money's a big one. Influence. Power. Fancy car. All of that facilitates control. Okay? There's nothing wrong with any of that. Except when that comes before the loving. When that comes before what we really care about, what our heart cares about, now we do have a problem. Because in my experience, fortunately, I've never been able to run too far or too fast with that. I always trip on like the 5-yard line and go, shit, you know, give me the 10-yard at least, but, you know, it's 5 yards, you know, right? After you've tripped there enough times, you just go, why even try? But I've known some people who had a lot of money, quite a bit of power and influence, and the more they got, the hungrier they were. You never get satisfaction there, right? And the more you get, the more you come into that stratosphere wherein, you know, you've got the most, nobody else around you even comes close, the more you realize you don't have enough. And if that's your focus, well, you just don't know what else to do. And it's kind of, what's that song about, you know, we all want to rule the world. Well, that's really the song of the ego. No ego would ever be satisfied until it could rule the whole world. And as we know, that's, given that that's never happened, and there's been some really extraordinary egos present, I don't think it's going to. The ascendant, the part that comes up and lifts us into the next level in the heart, in the human heart, is gratitude. And gratitude brings this whole level into balance. The receiving or the repelling and the attracting and the caring, which can be extremely, all that can be very frustrating. Because what we're dealing here with is very primal stuff. You feel how primal repelling, attracting, and caring all are? How much that really is out of our control? Y'all feel how, y'all have a relationship with how frustrating those particular elements have been in your life? How to come into a relationship with that is really balanced and free? Gratitude is the key. And the key to gratitude, the thing that brings forth gratitude, is when we receive life as a gift. When we realize, the thing that brings forth gratitude is when we receive something that we need, that we're totally powerless to provide for ourselves. And it's like when you got a flat tire in the middle of nowhere and your wife borrowed your spare for one of the kids, and by the way, they took the jack too. When that kind of thing happens and you're sitting there going, and then somebody comes along and they've got a spare and a jack that fits your car, and they say, hey, send me $100 when you get wherever you're going. You know, when something like that happens, you got to say thank you. You know, because, you know, when you run out of gas between Gallup and Holbrook, okay, at 11:30 at night, and a guy in a pickup truck with a 55-gallon of gasoline comes up and says, you out of gas? And you say, yeah, and he gives you enough gas to get to the next place. You're so happy, right? And yes, that did really happen. And we all have had those experiences, and they all come out of a place where we're feeling really humbled, like, oh, I really am screwed here. I am powerless here. And, I'll tell you one other little story. Earlier tonight, I mentioned the speeding ticket after the bar fight. I was in a bar, which I wasn't my usual thing, but there was business that I had to do, and that was the night of the really good Clay Liston fight. That was the good one. And everybody had been to that fight on closed circuit TV in Albuquerque. And I had to go find these business people, and I found them in this bar. And this was a very, very rough bar. To make a long story short, the four, five people that I was sitting with at this table managed to infuriate the rest of the people in the bar. A bar fight broke out. There was probably 70 people in this fight. It was a big fight. There were knives, there were guns, it was a really bad fight. And something inside of me says, you have to stop that fight. And my ego was saying, hello, that was stupid, I didn't start this, I'm out of here. And something inside of me said, no, you have to stop that fight. And I'm saying, shut up. And then I saw this person I know who was being stabbed. Something just took me over, took me right in to that situation. I grabbed the person who had the knife. The last thing that I remember is he looked in my eyes and he looked afraid. And my last thought was, idiot, you're the one with the knife. And then I didn't know what happened, but somebody broke the fat end of a pool cue over my head. I still to this day have a nice little ridge right along there, and knocked me unconscious. And somehow I wandered through the fight before I actually collapsed to the other side of the bar, and woke up in a huge pool of blood. And there was all these people on top of me, right? Well, the first thing that I remembered was the knife, because that's the last thing I saw. All these people are on top of me. I remember the bar fight. I remember the knife. And I remembered that I had $30,000 or $35,000 cash in my boots. And I went, oh, shit. And I just started swinging. Well, the crowd backs up, and I get up and kind of stagger. I don't even know that I've been hit. I don't see the blood or anything like that. And I wander back to the other side of the dance floor, and this guy says to me, he doesn't say to me, he's looking at me. Here's the crowd that was over me, and here I am on the other side with these people that started the fight. And this guy says to me, wow, what an asshole. And I'm thinking, bar fight, knives, guns, I'm knocked out on the floor defending myself and I'm the asshole? Well, later on I realized I stopped the bar fight. They all thought I was dead. Now, was it my preference to get to do it that way? Well, could you actually think of a better way? And the energy in me, the spirit in me, literally found a way to repel all that energy by bringing people into their caring. Whatever it was that they cared about, I'm not saying they necessarily cared about me as a person, but they all cared that there might be a dead body on the floor in a place where they had been part of a fight, and they might be associated with that. And so that is that is sort of an extreme example of that dynamic. Now, for my own self, that was literally a birthing of me into an experience of knowing myself in a whole other way. Because when I saw that, when I saw the power of that, I started trusting myself in a whole new way. I started honoring my caring in a whole new way. And up until that point, I had been in a real experience of doubt about what I was repelling and what I was attracting and about what I cared about. Based on the ego and in the way I was working out of my ego at that point, what I did in that bar fight was absolutely the most inappropriate thing I could have done. It wasn't my fight. The odds were just unbelievable. I mean, it was just stupid. I'm not a fighter type person, at least not in that kind of an arena. If I could have all gotten them to sit down in the circle, then I could have done some work. But that wasn't going to happen. There were knives and there were guns. I mean, this was not my realm at all. I had no business doing that. And yet, something literally moved me forward based on a resonance of caring. What was happening in that room was so utterly unacceptable. It didn't have to do with, I have to stop that fight. It was just utterly unacceptable. And it stopped. And it was a gift. Barb?
When you heard the voice say you have to stop that fight and you were arguing, did you finally say, did you say okay?
No, I didn't say okay.
You didn't say okay?
No, I didn't say okay. Not like that. I kind of let go. I was compelled. What happened was, it was saying, you have to stop that fight. And when I saw this person being stabbed, see, the repelling part of me wanted to look away. Right? And the caring part of me wanted to say, I don't care about this. And the attracting part of me said, let's go somewhere else. Those were all part of the ego aspect of that. But the deeper part said, given that you have the power of God, what would you do here? I would stop this fight. This is not acceptable. And I didn't even know the people present well enough to care about them on a personal level. We were business associates. Business for the next 2 weeks would have been easier for me if they hadn't been killed. But, you know, certainly not enough to risk your life for. After that happened, at one point, they fronted me $70,000 worth of jewelry, based on I had literally saved one of their lives, and a lot of really neat stuff happened out of that. So it's magical. And the main thing for me was my life changed radically at that point because I had experienced the power of my own spirit. And I moved into an experience of gratitude. Now, I'm obviously not suggesting you all go to a bar and, you know, look for a fight to stop. That's not how that works. the same thing that happened there happens out of reaching into an experience of gratitude. You don't have to wait to run out of gas, and you don't have to wait for a bar fight to move into gratitude. You really just have to move into this breath right now and experience how it is utterly out of your control. Oh yeah, you can speed it up, you can slow it down, you can stop it for a couple minutes if you're in pretty good shape, but it's a gift that you're receiving naturally, free, and without deserving it within the context of the way the ego expects to deserve. And for that breath and for this life, we can say, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And sometimes it's the simplest things.
Duh. She's not mechanical.
Apparently. Sometimes it is the simplest things that we say thank you for and are the most heartfelt thank yous. It's really only when we don't do that naturally based on our ability to and our willingness to just savor the preciousness of the moment that life has to give us some sort of extraordinary event to impress upon us that life is a gift. On my next trip to New Mexico, which is 3 weeks later, I won $700 in a card game with these guys. That was my real reward. not my real reward, but that was another reward, yeah. Okay, so let's look at the flame and let us attune here to this sequence of four resonant attunements. And the first one is repelling. And as you breathe into that repelling, just let the light in you create a bubble of light around you. And allow yourself to experience how all that is not for your highest good is being repelled. And that's an in-breath. You fill that bubble up with the in-breath. And on the out-breath, you let that bubble burst or dissolve into radiant light. So you have the two patterns. You have the circular pattern, and you have the radiant pattern. The symbol that we work with on this level is like a flower. But what it really is two spirals merged as one. And the heart has this experience where we're being attracted here and repelled here, and we have this experience of being the heart being torn between two places. Now, this breath moves us into a healing of that, where on the in-breath, the energy is repelling, the out-breath, it's attracting, it's all one energy. And it leads us to our caring. The next in-breath is caring. And if you look at the flame from the standpoint of caring, it's easy to see how it repels and how it attracts. But if you look at it from the standpoint of caring, what I see is a caring that says, I care enough to be fully present within the best of my ability, given the conditions. And that's all any of us can do. That's all I really did in that bar fight. In terms of like being a superhero, I was certainly was not successful. But in being present in my caring, I was. And the gratitude of the flame is, it's also present in its radiance. When we say thank you, there's a literally a burst of energy that happens energetically. It's like when you really have a heartfelt thank you, when you realize that that guy actually does have gas in that drum in the back of his truck, and that he's going to let you have some of it, something he just goes, right in the heart, thank you, thank you. And it's a bursting forth of energy that just happens naturally. It happens naturally in the flame, and it happens naturally in us. And we can facilitate that thank you as we attune to the breath and give thanks for that breath. So the in-breath, I am repelling, create the bubble. Out-breath, radiance, I am attracting. In-breath, I am caring. And out-breath, I am grateful. Thank you. In-breath, I am repelling. Create that bubble. Know that all that is not for your highest good is being held from you. I am attracting all that is for my highest good. All that I need. All the guidance, all the love, all the support, all the challenges that I need to get to where I truly want to be. The next breath is the caring, which is where I want to be, present in my caring, where what I care about, where I care about, who I care about. But the key is the caring, breathing into the caring. And naturally, out of the caring comes gratitude. As we breathe into the caring, if we think about all that we care about, we realize that it's all that seems to give us permission to be fully alive. And it's out of that permission and experience of being fully alive that our gratitude comes. What I care about is being in my loving heart. And my loving heart is right here within me right now. And I am grateful for that. And I am grateful for this life that allows me this opportunity to care, to be present. Any questions on this? Any comments? Anybody want to feel the dent in my head? Apparently not.